الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this silsila of Madani channel misconceptions. And in these silsilas we always try to remove certain misconceptions and misunderstandings regarding Islam, regarding Aqeedah and the practices of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah or any other Islamic issue. In today's silsila, we will try to remove some misconceptions and misunderstandings in regard to Zakat. Zakat indeed is one of the pillars of Islam. And any person who becomes sahib-e-nisab, zakat is fard upon him when all the conditions are met. Because zakat is not done on daily basis and not every person performs this ibadat, because every person doesn't have that kind of wealth or money. And people are not so keen to read and study these issues. So there are many misconceptions and misunderstandings in relation to payment of zakat. First and foremost, I would like to remove one very major misconception, and that comes from Islamic sisters. Many of the Islamic sisters believe that if they are wearing jewelry, if they have set of jewelry and that is for wearing, then there is no zakat on it. Maybe they assume or they use analogy on the clothes which they wear, that if you have clothes for wearing, there is no zakat upon them, and if you have gold and silver for wearing, there is no zakat on them as well. So that is mere misunderstanding and misconception. Gold and silver, regardless whether you wearing or you not wearing, whether they are kept in your safe or buried under the ground, whether they are for sale or not for sale, in any situation and condition and circumstances, zakat is fard if it reaches the limit, the weight which Sharia has described, and that is the limit of nisab. Secondly, many a times people misunderstand one very particular terminology, and that is hajat-e asliya. And everywhere you go, this question comes up, what is Hajat-e-Asliya? What qualifies as basic needs? Because things which are within the basic needs are exempted from zakat. So you have to minus all those things which are Hajat-e-Asliya, which are basic requirements of living and surviving. So therefore we would try to remove that misunderstanding as well. It's very simple to understand that things which are needed to live, they fall within the category of Hajat-e-Asliya. For example, your house, your clothes, your household items that you have in your kitchen, in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your dining room, your sofa set, your fridge, etc. And animals, if you have for riding for the purpose of conveyance to take you from one place to another place for transportation, or in modern days you have bicycles, you have motorbikes, you have cars, all these are Hajat-e-Asliya, they are basic needs. Your tools, if you are a tradesman and you have tools, you have workshop, you give service, you fix things, you are a mechanic, you're a technician, tools that you have in your workshop or at your workplace, they are within Hajat-e-Asliya. And for a knowledgeable person, for an alim-e-deen, books are also within Hajat-e-Asliya. And food that you have, your grocery that you have in your house, that is Hajat-e-Asliya. So when you are told or you read a masla that things that are falling within the category of Hajat-e-Asliya, they are minused from the calculation of zakat. So these are those things which we have mentioned. We also have one other issue that is many a time raised. Person has a young daughter. She is about to get married. Normally people start collecting things for the daughter to give her dowry, as we call jahez in Urdu. There are clothes and many other types of things, kitchen things, you know, bedroom things, dining things. People start collecting little. And then the question arises that, is there zakat on these things or not? So the answer is that there is no zakat on these things. However, if gold or silver is collected for the purpose of dowry or jahez, and if they reach the limit of nisab, then there would be zakat on that. And so this is very important to understand, because some people, they're keeping gold or silver for their daughters. So when they get married, they will give them as gift, as a dowry, and they feel that part of gold or silver is exempted and they don't pay zakat on that. So it's not true. That is misunderstanding and that is misconception. Gold and silver, in whichever form they are, as long as they reach to its limit, that is nisab, then there is zakat on that. Another explanation, and that is about the tools that people use, especially the machines that they have in their factories or in their workshops. Many a time people come and they ask these questions, and many people believe that there is zakat on the machines that they have in their workshops or in their factories. So that is misunderstanding. Actually, all the tools, whether they are small or big, whether they are manual or automatic, operated by computers or by human beings, in whichever form they are, as long as they are tools, they are used for your work, there is no zakat on them. Yes, if someone buys and sells tools, buys and sells machines, then there is zakat on them, because then these tools would be regarded as goods in trade. And goods in trade, which is known as mal-e-tijarat, there is zakat on that. So that was another misunderstanding that some people had, and alhamdulillah we tried to remove that misunderstanding. Another issue, some people feel that, you know, anything that is valuable, that has value attached to it, there is zakat on it. Therefore, besides gold and silver, diamonds, rubies and other pearls, sometimes the value of these pearls is very high. They could be more expensive than gold and silver. Is there zakat on that or not? We have to follow Sharia. Whatever the instructions are given to us by our deen, by Sharia, we are bound to follow that. We cannot bring our own mind and our own analogy in that. When Sharia has exempted something, then we have to accept it the way it is. So therefore, ulama ikram have said that there is no zakat on diamonds, on rubies, or on any other pearls. It is mentioned in Tanwirul Absar and also in Durr-e Mukhtar that ulama are unanimous on this issue, that there is no zakat on pearls, on diamonds, on rubies, etc. Even if the value of those diamonds reach thousands or millions of rupees or whichever currency it might be. However, if someone buys and sells, when he bought these pearls and intention was to sell them, then if the value reaches to the limit of gold nisab or silver nisab, of course the first silver would be considered, and then zakat would be necessary on that. So this was another issue which is not cleared in the minds of many people, and they have misunderstandings and misconceptions on that. And then we have another very important issue to discuss, and that is a very major misconception. Many people believe that zakat is fard only in the month of Ramadan. So that is the reason that many people give zakat in the month of Ramadan, because they start believing that month of Ramadan is the month when you give out your zakat. So the question is, when exactly zakat becomes fard upon someone? Now let me explain you this principle, that whichever day in the year you attained such amount of money or wealth, in whichever form it might be, which reached to the limit of nisab, so that is the day that you are qualified and declared as sahib-e-nisab. Then next year on the same day, according to lunar calendar, not according to solar calendar, because zakat calculation is done based on the lunar calendar, not on the solar calendar. So exactly on that day next year, zakat will become fard upon you, providing that you are still sahib-e-nisab. The 1 year has been passed. Now, whether that is month of Ramadan, or Shawwal, or Zikad, or Zulhajj, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani, any month. So, that is one of the misconceptions that people have. Now, if your zakat became fard, for example, in Rabiul Awwal, and you are paying in the month of Ramadan, you have delayed, and that ta'khir and delaying in performing that obligation, that fard, that is sin, that is guna. So one has to repent from it. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes in Fatawa Razviya Sharif that when the year has been completed, pay your zakat immediately. Yes, if someone wants to pay in advance, then Sharia allows you to pay in advance. And for that, the best month is the month of Ramadan, because in this month, the thawab of nafl is equal to fard, and the thawab of one fard is equal to 70 faraid. So that is possible, that if, for example, person's zakat is due on the 1st of Rabiul Awwal, now the Ramadan which is coming before Rabiul Awwal, he should pay zakat in advance and get that thawab of 70 fard which are promised in Hadith Mubarakah. And when that exact day comes, you do your proper calculation and then you adjust that amount. So that way it is possible. Otherwise, this misunderstanding that many people have, that zakat only becomes fard in the month of Ramadan, that is incorrect. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have shed some light on that issue as well, which is misunderstood by many people. Then there's another issue, and people ask that very often. What about haram wealth? If wealth which one has earned via haram meaning, which Sharia does not allow, and person got the money and wants to pay zakat, so what is the ruling? And many people do give, although they have haram earning with them, but they feel if they give something, maybe they'll get some blessings. Whatever other intentions they may have, some people think maybe the calamities and the difficulties and the court cases will be removed from them, or if they're doing crooked things, and then they feel, you know, they will not be caught up in this. So whatever the reason might be, but let's understand the ruling. The ruling is that if, for example, person's business is to hire out movies or music. Now, movies which are ghair shari'i movies, non-Islamic activities are taking place in that. To watch, to promote, to give on rent, to be in that business is haram. Even the music. So if that is someone's business, then his earning is haram. Now, this type of wealth is similar to the wealth which has been taken from someone by force, like in robbery. So its ruling is that it is wajib upon that person to return that wealth back to whom it belongs to, the person whose property is that. And if you don't know, or the person passed away maybe, then pass it over to their heirs, those who qualify to receive that person's inheritance. And then if you don't get anyone, then give it as a charity on their behalf. So this is a wonderful principle that Islam has given us and explained us. So we must not hope thawab by doing charity with haram wealth. Therefore, ulama-i-kiram have said that it is not jais to give zakat with haram wealth, and nor the sadaqah or charity or zakat from the haram wealth would be accepted. And if ma'azallah, may Allah protect our faith, if person makes niyat or intention of sawab on haram mal when he is giving sadaqah or charity, then it is very severely haram. And fuqaha ikram, the jurists, have written up to kufr, mean it can be kufr as well when person makes niyat or intention of sawab by giving haram, pure haram wealth in charity. Therefore, people must be very careful when they want to give zakat, they want to give charity, they have pure halal wealth and halal money. And that's what should be used for Hajj, and that's what should be given for masajid or any other good work or work of sawab or charity that you want to do. Make sure that halal wealth is used in that. Another question that raises very often and people don't have clear understandings, and that is categories of mustahiqeen of zakat, those who qualify to receive zakat or recipients of zakat. So there are actually seven. One is faqir. Faqir is the person who is not sahib nisab himself. Number two is maskeen. Maskeen is destitute, who has got nothing with him. And number three is amil. Amil is a person who is appointed by Islamic government to go out and collect zakat. So he can be paid as well from zakat money. And a slave who wants freedom, but his master wants money. So money can be paid to him, so he can pay his master and free himself. An indebted person, that's number five. He needs to pay debts, so you pay him so he can set himself free from debts. And number six is in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are many categories which fit in Rahi Khuda, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And number seven is Musafir. Traveler who is rich at his place, he got wealth, but while traveling at a strange place, he lost his money, or got stolen, or he was robbed, or whatever the reason might be. So he is allowed to take zakat. He can be given zakat so he can reach his place of destination. So these are seven categories who are the recipients of zakat. Some people feel that only a beggar that is standing on the roads and begging, maybe they are the recipient of zakat. Or some feel only the poor person, especially in English, you know, they call it a poor due. So that means only a poor person, in their understanding, he deserves to take the zakat, and they forget about other categories. And in Rahi Khuda, also a student of knowledge of deen is also in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, he can be given zakat, and this way we can enable many of our Muslims, brothers and sisters, that they can take the knowledge of deen and study the knowledge of deen and become scholars of Islam and protect and defend this beautiful deen of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And to further on that, a student is mustahiq zakat, mean he is a recipient of zakat. And who is that student? Student of ilm-e-deen, who is studying deen. And he can even ask. The many other categories, they cannot ask for zakat, even though they qualify to receive zakat, but they cannot ask. But a student of ilm-e deen, knowledge of deen, he can even ask from someone that give me zakat because I have freed myself for this work. Although I have the ability to earn money and do something else, but I have made myself free for this work. So he's allowed. But a student who is seeking worldly, secular knowledge or knowledge which is required to earn money, he cannot ask. But if he is poor, he is faqir, he is mustahiqe zakat, he is a recipient of zakat, then if someone gives him, he can take. Then that would not be given to him because he is studying this science or that science. That would be given to him because he is a poor person, because he is faqir for that reason. But as far as student of knowledge of deen is concerned, he is in the path of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore permission is granted to him that he can even ask and tell someone that pay me the zakat because I am learning the knowledge of deen. So that is also one misunderstanding that many people have, and they treat both of them equally when it comes to paying the zakat money. No, alime, person who is a student of ilm-e deen, his status is different, and a person who is a student of those branches of knowledge which are attained to earn living, his station is different. Some people also have this misunderstanding that they want to help poor girls to get married. Because in many homes, people don't have money to arrange and organize things as far as the dowry is concerned, or if they invite guests, they don't have money to feed or to book a hall or other services. Now, a person who got zakat and he feels, let me help this family and let me get the girl of this family married and I will foot the bill. So what they normally do, they pay the hall, they pay the food man who prepared the food, and they buy furniture and things like that and give to that poor girl so she can get married. Zakat is not paid in this way, because one of the conditions of payment of zakat is the ownership of poor person. The recipient of zakat must own that money. If that ownership is not proven, then zakat is not paid. So in these situations, what can a person do is that give such amount which is required for her to get married into her hand, make her owner, if she is really a deserving person. That also needs to be investigated. So if she is really a faqir who qualifies, she is a recipient of zakat, the money can be given to her and then she can pay all her bills. So this way zakat can be paid. Otherwise zakat would not be paid by paying accounts directly. And this is actually happening in many matters, that people pay zakat, for example, bursary of a student. They pay directly into the accounts of college or university on that number of students. So in the accounts of university, the fees is paid. But there was no ownership of a faqir, there was no ownership of a deserving person. So your zakat is not paid. Yes, indeed, that student got helped. That we don't deny that part. But you as a Muslim upon whom zakat was fard, your obligation has not been fulfilled. So and many people, and this is happening in the many organizations, that they give out bursary to students. They don't make the student owner of that money. They pay directly into the account of university or college or institution wherever the student is studying, and this way zakat is not paid. And many people, they do that in hospitals as well, that they give money in hospitals to help the poor, and medicines are sometimes given, sometimes poor, rich, everyone comes, and sometimes with the zakat money rooms are built or the machinery is bought for you know, medical care and etc. Zakat is not paid in. So if they want to build up a hospital, build up a room, build up a surgery, use the pure lillah money. And yes, you can bring medicines if you really want to pay your zakat in this way. And then when the deserving recipient of zakat comes as a patient, you give him that medicine from the zakat money. And that amount of money will be assessed according to the market value of that medicine, will be minused from your zakat. So this way it can be done. But just close your eyes, and sometimes the bills of doctors are being paid with the zakat money without making the recipient of zakat owner of that money directly into their accounts. This way zakat is not paid. So people must be very careful, especially I'm emphasizing, because I know that many organizations that do bursary programs for students in the school, colleges, universities, or at whichever level it might be, they're not making that poor person, that deserving person, owner of that money. They pay direct into the accounts of that school or college or university. Zakat is not paid. So you have to make sure that your ibadat, your obligation, is done correctly within the boundaries, within the limits of Sharia. And then sometimes question arises, and there are a lot of confusing opinions amongst people, and that is about, if a person wants to go for Hajj, can he take zakat money? Yes, if he is a poor person and someone gives him zakat and he got enough now to undertake that journey, then that's his money. If he wants to go for Hajj, he can go for Hajj, and if he wants to do something else with that money, he's allowed to do that as well. But it is not correct for him to ask money for that person, for that purpose. He cannot go to people and say, I'm a poor person, give me zakat because I want to go for Hajj. So this permission is not granted. But someone identified him as a poor person, as a deserving person, and brings his zakat and gives it to him, and then he takes it and he becomes the owner. When he becomes the owner, then it is up to him what he wants to do with that money. He can go and buy a house, he can go on holidays, or he can buy grocery or something of you know, of his house, of his need, or he can go for Hajj. That is up to him. So this was also a confusing situation in the minds of many people. So we have tried to remove that as well. One very important issue, and that is, can we give zakat to alim-e-deen or imam of the masjid or muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami, for example? Is it allowed? Many people want to give. Then they feel that maybe he is employed, he is getting salary, would it be okay to give him or not, etc. Now the principle is that every fakir, every poor person who qualifies as fakir or maskeen, and if he is ghair Hashimi, he is not Hashimi. And who are the Hashimis? Very important to know and understand. There are five families actually. Two sons of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abbas and Sayyidina Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and three grandsons of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, and that is Hazrat Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda, Hazrat Ja'far and Hazrat Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So their families are called Bani Hashim or Hashimi. So zakat is not allowed to be given to them. So person is faqir and is ghair Hashimi, that means he does not come from any of those five families. And if he is alim, then it is better to give him zakat than an ignorant person. So it's afdal, you will get more sawab. So similar rule applies to muazzin or to muballigh, any person who is serving in the path of deen. However, keep in mind that respect of alim must always be observed if he is poor and you're paying him zakat. Zakat should not be given to him as a rich person gives charity to a beggar. Rather, give him as a small person gives a gift to an elder. So in this way, it should be given. And zakat cannot be given as a salary. That is also very important. So person must not think that, oh, because so-and-so alim or muazzin or certain person is working and let me pay his salary or give him some increase on his salary from that zakat money, that would not be allowed. His condition has to be assessed properly, and then if he qualifies to be recipient of zakat and qualifies to be poor or faqir or maskeen, then zakat can be given. So giving zakat to alim is better than giving to jahil. These were some of the important issues that we discussed, and there were misunderstandings and misconceptions around these issues. We have identified few more areas, but inshallah if we get another chance, maybe we will identify those areas as well. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand our religion, our deen, the rules and regulations of our sharia, and may we practice accordingly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and our charities and our salats and our fastings. And don't forget, while these are the months that many people would give out their zakat and charities and lillah and atiyat and etc., don't forget your own Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami is doing wonderful, fabulous work in so many different departments. And the Muslim Ummah is benefiting thoroughly from the work of Dawat Islami. It is almost everywhere in the world. Madani Channel is serving, giving you the accurate, correct informations about Islam and helping you out on every level. So you might be watching Madani Channel right now because this message is for you, for the viewers of Madani Channel. This is happening because of your contribution, because of your donations. Because Madani Channel does not run through advertisements. You don't see advertisements. You don't see breaks in between the programs and the silsilas. For hours and hours it continues. How is this possible? This is possible because Muslims want these types of activities and programs without any advertising, without any break. So you are part of it, you are helping, you are already helping. So we appeal to you that continue that beautiful cooperation that you are doing and increase that and try to involve others as well, so we can do more for your sake and for the sake of ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habib Allah.
Ascending success, staring success, staring.